This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان، أما بعد، فأسأل الله عز وجل لي ولكم العلم النافع والعمل الصالح والإخلاص في القول والعمل والعصمة من فتن الشبهات والشهوات. نحن يا أيها الأحبة نعيش في هذا الزمن المتأخر، هذا الزمن الذي سمته الفتن المتلاحقة التي أصبحت سلسلة متصلة، فما تنتهي فتنة إلا وتنشأ فتنة أخرى، مما يستدعي أن ينظر طالب العلم والمسلم الحريص على نفسه في شأن هذه الفتن وكيفية النجاة من الوقوع فيها. فإن الفتن شأنها عظيم، الفتن هذه الحوادث الكبيرة التي تصيب المسلمين ويكثر فيها الهرج والمرج والاختلاف، وتتباين فيها الآراء، ويكثر فيها وقوع التباين في المواقف، وربما ترتب على هذا كثير من الإحن في الصدور والنزاع بين الأحبة. فما هو المسلك الشرعي الذي ينبغي أن يسلكه طالب العلم؟ ما هي الأصول التي ينبغي أن يراعيها المسلم حتى يكون في هذه الفتن آخذاً الطريق الأسلم والمسلك الأحوط؟ هذا هو موضوعنا الذي نريد أن نتحدث عنه في هذه الجلسة بعون الله سبحانه وتعالى.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and upon his family and companions. Beloved brothers, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He bestows upon us beneficial knowledge, righteous actions, and sincerity in every statement and every action. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He saves us all from the fitan, from the tribulations and the calamities of ash-shubuhat wa shahawat, the tribulations of doubts and also the tribulations of desires. And we are living in a time, we're living in an era in which that which is prevalent is fitan, in an era in which prevalence is for the tribulations and the tests and the trials that a person goes to. And these fitan, these calamities and these tribulations come one after the other, meaning they are continuous. And therefore, the student of knowledge and also the Muslim who is focused about his own success and his own safety should know about the reality of these tribulations and also the way in which he can save himself from these tribulations. So these fitan, these tribulations, their status and danger is very severe. And when we talk about fitan, when we talk about these calamities and these afflictions, we are speaking about those great events which occur, which affect the Muslims, in which there is then chaos and killing and violence, in which there is much difference and people are required to take stances, and then this often results in disputes between people, and the hearts within the chests of people hating each other, and then being hatred amongst the people. And therefore, the student of knowledge has to know the reality of these fitan. And he has to also know what is the understanding of the Sharia with regards to these tribulations. And what should a Muslim who is focused on his own success and safety, what should a Muslim do with regards to these fitan? What is the correct path and the safe path for a person to save himself from these fitan? So this subject, we are going to speak about it with the help of Allah in this lecture today.
الموضوع طويل والوقت قصير ولذلك رأيت أن أجعل الكلام في أربعة أصول. هذه الأصول الأربعة من رعاها وأخذ نفسه بها في وقت حصول الفتن فإنه يرجى إن شاء الله أن يسلم وتكون له العصمة بتوفيق الله سبحانه وتعالى متى ما اجتاحت الفتنة المكان الذي هو فيه أو الزمان الذي يعيش فيه. أول تلك الأصول التي ينبغي أن يراعيها طالب العلم في الفتن التحلي بالحكمة وفقه المصالح والمفاسد. نعم.
This lecture, this subject is something which is very long, but the time that we have is very little. And for this reason, I thought about summarizing the lecture and speaking about four important principles that if a student of knowledge holds firm to these four principles in the times of fitan, then for him will be a protection by the tawfiq of Allah Jalla wal-Ula, by the guidance of Allah. And the first of these four principles is al-hikmah, wisdom, and also a person weighing up the potential benefits and the potential harms.
بين أيدينا في هذا الموضوع عدة قواعد قررها أهل العلم بناء على أدلة الكتاب والسنة. هذه القواعد حري بطالب العلم أن يكون فقيها فيها وأن يكون على معرفة تامة بها حتى يسلم بإذن الله سبحانه وتعالى من الوقوع في الخطأ أثناء الفتن. أول تلك القواعد هي أن درء المفاسد مقدم على جلب المصالح. هكذا قرر أهل العلم هذه القاعدة بناء على أدلة الكتاب والسنة. وبالتالي فمتى ما تعارض عند المسلم ولا سيما عند طالب العلم أمر إما أن يكون فيه دارئا لمفسدة أو جالبا لمصلحة فلا شك أن تقديم درء المفسدة مقدم على جلب المصلحة. وبالتالي الشريعة أحرص ما تكون على درء المفاسد والتخفيف منها. مبنى الشريعة كلها دلائلها كلها مبنية على جلب المصالح وتكثيرها ودرء المفاسد وتقليلها. جلب المصالح وتكثيرها ودرء المفاسد وتقليلها. وعند التزاحم فلا شك أن درء المفاسد مقدم على جلب المصالح. إذن في الموقف الذي تريد أن تتخذه إذا وقعت فتنة بين الناس ينبغي أن تلاحظ أنك إذا كنت في هذا الموقف قد تحصل مصلحة ولكنه قد تقع مفسدة. إذن لو تركت فإن هذا هو الأولى بك لأن درء المفاسد مقدم على جلب المصالح. نعم.
And these principles which we're going to mention under the first principle of having wisdom and weighing up the potential benefits and the harms, within this there are other further sub-principles. And a person should be a faqih, i.e. a person of understanding and have insight when it comes to these principles. And a person should fully understand and fully comprehend these principles. And this is so that he can be saved from these fitan. So with regards to the first pillar, which is wisdom and weighing up potential benefits and harms, the sub-principle is that repelling a harm or avoiding a harm is given precedence over gaining a benefit. This is the sub-principle. And this is something which we have deduced from the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah, and also the statements of the scholars, that repelling or avoiding an evil or a harm is given precedence over finding or gaining a benefit. Meaning, if there is a situation in which you will either gain a potential harm, or you will or there will be also a benefit, then the Sharia requires from us that we don't gain that benefit as long as we stay away from the harm. If we look at the Sharia and the evidences of the Sharia, we find that the Sharia, all of it is based upon bringing benefits and increasing them, bringing advantages and increasing them, and also repelling harms and decreasing them. The Sharia is based upon this, all of it. The evidences show us that we try to bring as much benefits and advantages and we increase them, and at the same time we repel as much harm and we decrease it. But sometimes there is a conflict between both of them. Meaning at the same time, if you try to bring this benefit, it will result in also a greater harm. So if you are in a situation, if you are in a fitna between the people, you are in a tribulation between the people, and if you try to gain this benefit, at the same time, it's also going to result in a greater harm, then it's preferred for you not to gain that benefit, because we want to repel that potential harm.
قاعدة الثانية هي متفرعة عن القاعدة الأولى وتابعة لها. الآن إذا تعارضت عندنا مصلحة ومفسدة، قلنا إننا نقدم درء المفسدة على جلب المصلحة، وأظن هذا واضحا. لكن ماذا إذا تعارضت المصالح وتعارضت المفاسد؟ القاعدة هنا هي احتمال أدنى المفسدتين في سبيل دفع أعلاهما، وجلب أعلى المصلحتين بترك أدناهما. هنا كلمة لطيفة لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله ذكرها في كتابه اقتضاء الصراط المستقيم. ذكر رحمه الله أن التمييز بين المصلحة والمفسدة بحيث يقدم الإنسان درء المفسدة على جلب المصلحة، هذا أمر يتيسر كثيرا، ولكن تزاحم المفسدتين والنظر فيهما ووزنهما بحيث يرتكب المفسدة الدنيا في سبيل دفع المفسدة العليا، وفي مقابل هذا أنه تتعارض المصلحتان فيترك إحدى المفسدتين في سبيل تحصيل الأعلى منهما، قال هذا لا يتيسر إلا للعلماء، هذا خاصة أهل العلم كما قال رحمه الله، يعني أن هذا لا يتيسر إلا لأهل العلم المحصلين. وها هنا قد تضيق المسائل، بمعنى أن الأمور ليست دائما مصلحة واضحة ومفسدة واحدة، إنما قد يضطر طالب العلم في هذه الأزمنة وفي هذه الأمكنة التي نعيشها، يضطر إلى أن يترك شيئا أو أن يفعل شيئا في سبيل تحصيل ما هو أعظم أو في سبيل دفع ما هو أعظم. أضرب لك مثالا، النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعلم أن تأسيس الكعبة التي كانت على قواعد إبراهيم عليه السلام، التي أرى الله سبحانه وتعالى نبيه الخليل إبراهيم عليه السلام، ليست هي على القواعد التي بنى أو التي بناها عليها أهل الجاهلية، بمعنى أنه حصل انتقاص من الكعبة. هم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بهدم الكعبة وإعادة بنائها على قواعد إبراهيم التي أرى الله سبحانه وتعالى نبيه الخليل عليه الصلاة والسلام. لاحظ معي رعاك الله أن إبقاء الكعبة على حالها مفسدة، ولكن قد يترتب على هدم الكعبة والناس حدثاء عهد بإسلام، يعني ما أسلموا إلا عن قريب. لو أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هدم هذه الكعبة وحصل هذه المصلحة ودفع هذه المفسدة التي هي بقاؤها على خلاف قواعد إبراهيم، لربما ترتب على هذا مفسدة أعظم، وهي أن كثيرا من الحدثاء حدثاء عهد بالإسلام ربما أصابهم شك من هذا الدين، وربما كان سببا في ردتهم. إذا ماذا صنع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ ترك الكعبة على حالها. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام لعائشة رضي الله عنها كما في الصحيح، قال: لولا أن قومك حدثاء عهد بكفر لهدمت الكعبة ولبنيتها على قواعد إبراهيم. إذن تلاحظ يا رعاك الله هنا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم علمنا قاعدة مهمة، وهي أننا قد نترك أمرا على ما هو عليه، وبالتالي نكون ارتكبنا مفسدة في سبيل أن ندفع مفسدة أعظم، أن ندفع مفسدة أكبر، والله تعالى أعلم.
And then the second sub-principle is a result of the principle which we just mentioned. So the first sub-principle was, if we have to always have wisdom and we have to weigh up the potential harms and the potential benefits. And then we also said that from the sub-principles linked to this is, whenever we have a harm, a potential harm, and this potential harm is conflicting with a potential benefit, then it's better for us to not gain that benefit as long as we are repelling the harm. And I think this is understood by everybody. The next principle is, sometimes when we have two harms, two potential harms which are conflicting with each other, or two potential benefits which are conflicting with each other, meaning either a person is going to fall into a lower harm, a lesser harm, or a greater harm at the same time, or a person is going to fall into a lesser benefit or gain a greater benefit. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in his book Iqtida Sirat al-Mustaqim, he said, as for weighing up potential benefits and potential harms, this is easy, and many people will be able to understand this. But weighing up two evils or weighing up two benefits, this is where the difficulty is. And this is only understood by the people of knowledge, those who are well grounded in knowledge. So sometimes a student of knowledge is in a position whereby he has to leave a he has to commit a smaller harm in order to repel a greater harm, or whereby a person will have to leave gaining a lesser benefit with the view of gaining the greater benefit later on. And I will give you an example which will make this very clear. The building of the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he was Al-Khalil, he was the most beloved. And this was a command from Allah for him to build the Kaaba upon particular foundations. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found that the Kaaba, which had been rebuilt once again by the Quraysh in Jahiliyyah, it wasn't upon the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. They had shortened the building of the Kaaba by a little bit. So the himmah, the ambition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to destroy the Kaaba and then build it once again upon the actual foundations that Ibrahim alayhi salam al-Khalil had built it with the revelation of Allah jalla fil ula. So pay attention to this, may Allah protect you and may Allah guide you, that the Kaaba remaining in its state is a harm. It's a mafsada. It is something which is evil. Why? Because it isn't upon the actual foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And therefore, it remaining in that state, it is a mafsada. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam not changing it is also a mafsada. However, had the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam demolished the Kaaba, then perhaps this would have led to a greater mafsada, a greater evil or a greater harm. And that is, perhaps the people would say that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is destroying the Kaaba. And maybe those of them who are just entered into Islam, maybe some of them would leave Islam. So in this situation, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He left the Kaaba in its original foundations, or he left the Kaaba upon the foundations of the Quraysh, the people of Jahiliyyah, not upon the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he allowed this to remain, this mafsada, he allowed it to remain. But by allowing it to remain and not demolishing it, at least he saved himself from the greater mafsada of people maybe leaving Islam or doubting his message. And for this reason, he said to Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih, he said, had it not been for your people being new to Islam, had it not been for your people recently leaving Kufr, I would have destroyed the Kaaba and then built it again upon the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he taught us a principle that if we have to commit a lesser harm or a lesser evil in order to avoid a greater evil, then this should be done. And in the case of the Kaaba, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he committed the lesser harm of allowing the Kaaba to remain in its foundations, and he avoided the benefit of it being rebuilt once again upon the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why? Because of the fear of the greater evil and the greater harm which will come to the people in doubting Islam or leaving al-Islam.
قاعدة ثالثة وهي أيضا قريبة مما سبق. إنكار المنكر إذا كان سيترتب عليه منكر أعظم كان منكرا. إنكار المنكر إن ترتب عليه منكر أعظم كان منكرا. بمعنى المنكر قد تنكره وتكون النتيجة أن يزول. هنا إنكار المنكر واجب. ثانيا تنكر المنكر فتكون النتيجة أن يخف المنكر، لا يزول بالكلية لكنه يخف، هنا الإنكار واجب. حالة ثالثة أن تنكر المنكر فيترتب عليه وجود منكر أعظم، ربما يزول هذا المنكر لكن يوجد منكر أكبر، هنا لا يجوز إنكار المنكر. هنا لا يجوز إنكار المنكر، الواجب أن يترك الأمر على حاله. إن كان الإنكار سيرتب عليه شيء أعظم. أضرب لك مثلا، رأيت في بعض الأماكن وكذلك سمعت أن بعض الدعاة يفقدون هذا الفقه، فقه إنكار المنكر، بحيث إنهم إذا جاءهم شخص يريد أن يسلم، بلاد يعيش فيها كفار، جاء شخص يريد أن يسلم، فإنهم يقولون له انتبه، إذا أردت أن تسلم فلا بد أن تختتن. لا بد من ماذا؟ لا بد من الختان، ولا بد أيضا أن تترك العلاقات مع النساء، ولا بد أيضا أن تترك شرب الخمر، ولا بد أن تترك كذا، ولا بد أن تترك كذا. يسردون عليه قائمة طويلة من الأمور المحرمة التي يجب عليه أن يتركها. ماذا تظنون أن يكون جواب هذا الإنسان في الغالب؟ الحقيقة أن هذا من قلة الفقه. لعل هذا الإنسان بهذه الصورة يوصل رسالة إلى هذا الإنسان مفادها أن الإسلام يعني شيء صعب في الحقيقة، كأنه يقول له بلسان الحال لا تسلم، بدون قصد بالتأكيد. الآن لاحظوا معي، بقاء هذا الإنسان على شرب خمر، والخمر منكر وعظيم ومعصية، أو كونه لا يختتن أو كونه يعاشر النساء بالحرام، هذه مفاسد ولا بد، هذه مفاسد ولا شك. ولكن مفسدة بقاء هذا الإنسان على الكفر مفسدة أعظم. وبالتالي لو أنكر عليه هذه المنكرات في البداية، أو ربما يكون حديث عهد بإسلام، ربما أدى هذا إلى إصراره على الكفر إذا كان كافرا، أو ربما أدى هذا إلى ارتداده عن الإسلام. إذن من الفقه ها هنا أن يلاحظ الإنسان أن إنكاره هذا المنكر ينبغي أن يتأخر في الوقت قليلا، حتى لا يخلف هذا الإنكار وجود منكر أعظم. وهذا من الفقه الذي نحتاجه كثيرا يا أيها الإخوة. نحن نلاحظ أن بعض الإخوة يفقد هذا الفقه. أضرب لك مثالا واقعيا، الساحة تعج بالمشكلات الفكرية واختلاف الاختلافات المنهجية، هذا شيء لا ينكره أحد. ربما يدخل شخص في الإسلام ويستقيم مع بعض الشباب الذين هم على السنة، لكنهم يغفلون عن مثل هذه القواعد، قواعد المصالح والمفاسد. فربما أدخلوا هذا الإنسان حديث العهد بالإسلام في هذه المشاكل، ويكلمونه عن فلان وفلان، واسمع لفلان ولا تسمع لفلان، يدخلونه في دوامة عقله لا يتصورها، هو أضعف. ولا يزال حديث عهد بالإسلام يحتاج إلى أن يقوى إيمانه. إدخاله في المشاكل التي تكون بين المسلمين أو بين الدعاة، ربما سيترتب عليه وجود منكر أعظم. إذن هذه الحالة تحتاج منك أن تكون حكيما. فإن كان هذا الكلام مهما وإن كان صوابا في نفسه، فيا حبذا لو أخرته حتى يقوى إيمان هذا الإنسان وحتى يحسن إسلامه، ثم بعد ذلك كلمه إذا شئت. أما منذ أن يسلم تدخله في مشاكل عقله يضعف عن تصورها، فهذا في الحقيقة لا شك أنه مفسدة عظيمة، وقد ترتب على هذا بالفعل حصول ارتداد من البعض، أو تشكك من البعض، أو انصراف عن أتباع السلف الصالح إلى غيرهم. والسبب هو عدم مراعاة المصالح أو مراعاة فقه المصالح والمفاسد، والله أعلم. نعم.
And then the third sub-principle is if you forbidding an evil will result in a greater evil, then you do not forbid that evil. So by you forbidding an evil, it's going to result into greater evil, then you do not forbid that evil. And no doubt, when it comes to forbidding evil, as long as you are able to remove that evil or lessen the evil, then it is the obligation that we have to forbid the evil. However, if you forbidding the evil is going to lead to a greater evil, then it is not correct for you to forbid that evil, and that evil, which is a lesser evil, should remain as it is. And this is as long as by you forbidding it, a greater evil is going to occur. And I have seen, and I have also heard, that many du'at, they don't understand this principle. And they don't implement this principle, i.e. to leave off forbidding an evil because it is going to result in a greater evil. As an example, to make it clear, you have a caller to Islam and he is living in the non-Muslim countries. And a person comes to him and this person wants to accept Islam. He is a non-Muslim and he wants to accept Islam. And the person will say to him that if you want to accept Islam, just remember, you have to be circumcised. And also, you'll have to break off and stop your communication with women. And also, you're going to have to abstain from drinking alcohol. And you have to stop doing this and abstain from this and withhold from this. It's as if he gives him a long table or a long list of, if you accept Islam, then you'll have to leave and abstain this, this, and this. So what do you think the answer is going to be from this person who wants to accept Islam? Is he going to accept Islam? It's as if he's being told, or the message which is being given to him is, Islam is a very difficult religion. And Islam is a religion which is going to place all sorts of restrictions upon you. And in reality, this is due to qillat al-fiqh. This is due to a lack of understanding and a lack of fiqh. It's as if this person, the da'i, is saying to that non-Muslim, don't accept Islam. Of course, it isn't that this is his intention, but without the intention, it's as if he's saying to him, don't accept Islam. Because Islam is a religion of difficulty and restrictions and abstaining from everything. So here we have an evil, and this evil is drinking alcohol and women and other muharramat, other matters which are haram. But if you were to forbid this kafir who wants to accept Islam from these evils, it's going to result in a greater evil. And the greater evil is, he's going to remain upon his kufr, and he isn't going to accept Islam. Or if he has just accepted Islam, maybe he will turn back to kufr. So for this reason, hikmah, wisdom is that when it comes to mentioning the prohibition of drinking alcohol and staying away from women and these types of matters, that you delay it slightly. And you don't mention it right at the beginning. You allow the person to accept Islam, allow his intelligence to mature, allow his heart to become firm upon Islam slightly, and then you can mention some of the muharramat. And this is where fiqh is required. So may Allah protect you in these types of situations. We are in need of using fiqh and using wisdom in calling and giving to da'wah. Also, we find in the domain of the da'wah how there are many, many different opinions, and there is also a clash of manhaj, there is a clash of methodologies between the various groups, and there are many issues of confusion amongst the youth. And again, many students of knowledge, they don't weigh up the potential benefits and the potential harms when it comes to speaking about these issues of manhaj. And maybe a person has just accepted Islam and he isn't ready for these principles to be told to him, and they start telling him all of these principles with regards to people and with regards to groups and so on and so forth. And therefore, because of the lack of maturity of the intellect of the new Muslim, and because of how new the Islam is of this person, he doesn't understand the nature of these problems. He doesn't truly comprehend the nature of these issues of manhaj. He doesn't appreciate differences of manhaj. And therefore, it results in him leaving Islam or leaving the way of the Salaf and so on and so forth. So therefore, it is upon us to have wisdom when it comes to these situations. And that sometimes a word which is truthful may be delayed because it is going to lead to a greater evil.
الأصل الثاني الذي ينبغي أن يراعيه طالب العلم في الفتن لزوم الحلم والرفق والأنات. هذه كلمات ثلاث تدل على أخلاق ثلاثة عظيمة ومهمة، ولا سيما أيام الفتن. طالب العلم بحاجة إلى أن يأخذ نفسه بها. ما هي؟ الحلم، الرفق، الأنات. الحلم ضد الغضب، والرفق ضد العنف والشدة، والأنات ضد العجلة والطيش. وما أحوج طالب العلم وما أحوج طالب العلم إلى هذه الأخلاق الثلاثة أثناء الفتن. نعم.
And then the second pillar, the first pillar was having wisdom and weighing up the benefits and the harms. The second pillar is that a student of knowledge in times of fitna, he must have al-hilm. And al-hilm is tolerance, being tolerating and forbearing. And also al-rifq. And al-rifq is gentleness and leniency. And also al-anat. And al-anat is a person not being hasty and deliberating before he does anything, being very considerate in what he does. These three matters, they relate to three very important manners that every student of knowledge must assume when it comes to times of fitan. So with regards to al-hilm, tolerance, then This is the opposite of al-ghadab. This is the opposite of anger. That a student of knowledge should not be angry, rather he should have tolerance and tolerate the people. And the second characteristic, which is al-rifq, gentleness, it opposes or it negates al-shidda, being harsh and being harsh in your dealings. And as for al-anat, a person being deliberate, then it opposes al-ajala, which is hastiness, that a person is not hasty in that which he does. And how in need are we of these three characteristics? How in need is a student of knowledge of these three characteristics when it comes to dealing with fitan?
هذه الأخلاق محبوبة عند الله حضت عليها الشريعة والمصالح المترتبة على وجودها والتخلق بها عظيمة. جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله أوصني، يطلب وصية من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا تغضب. فكرر السؤال يا رسول الله أوصني، فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تغضب. قطعة الجملة المكونة من هذين الجزئين لا تغضب. كرر مرة ثالثة فما زاده النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على هذه الجملة، قال له ثالثا لا تغضب. في إحدى روايات الحديث يقول أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه فتأملت فإذا الغضب جماع الشر. يقول أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه فتأملت، يعني في هذه الوصية، يقول فإذا الغضب جماع الشر. جماع الشر يعني الشرور كثير منها يرجع إلى وجود الغضب. متى ما غضب الإنسان فإنه قد يتصرف تصرفات يندم عنها أو يندم عليها بعد حين. أما الحلم والأنات فيكفينا ما أخبر به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الأشجع بن عبد القيس، والحديث في صحيح مسلم، قال له وهو صحابي جليل رضي الله عنه، قال لأشجع عبد القيس، قال له إن فيك خصلتين يحبهما الله ورسوله، الحلم والأنات، خصلتان تخلق بهما رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. ففاز بهذه أو فاز بهذا الحديث من كلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو أن هذين الخلقين يحبهما الله ورسوله. وكل أحد يستطيع أن يكون مقتديا بهذا الصحابي الجليل فيفوز بهاتين الخلتين اللتين يحبهما الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم.
And these three characteristics which we mentioned are beloved to Allah. The Sharia orders us to assume these three characteristics, and many good and much benefit is achieved because of these three characteristics. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said to him, advise me, counsel me. So he wanted and he sought counsel and advice and admonishment from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to him, لا تغضب, do not become angry. And then the man came to him again and he said, oh Prophet, advise me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam counseled him with the very same words, do not become angry. Look, in Arabic only two words, لا تغضب, a sentence of only two words. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated it again. And then he came a third time and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated these two words once again, do not become angry, la taghdab. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in one of the narrations of this hadith, he mentions, he says, I contemplated this hadith and I realized that the core of evil is due to anger. Meaning, many types of evil, they are often caused by a person being angry. That a person becomes angry and then he acts in a way or he does something that later on he will be apologetic about that which he did. And as for al-hilm wal-anat, as for a person being tolerant and a person not being hasty, then it is sufficient for us the hadith of Al-Ashaj Abdul Qais رضي الله عنه, and he was a virtuous companion, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, in you are two characteristics which Allah and His Messenger love, al-hilm wal-anat, tolerance and not being hasty. And so this companion, and the hadith is in Sahihain, this companion, he succeeded with the love of Allah and His Messenger, as is in the hadith, because of these two characteristics which he had inside him. And therefore, every student of knowledge and every Muslim should be imitating this companion. And he should also want to succeed and acquire the love of Allah and His Messenger by being tolerant and by not being hasty.
يا أخوتا, نحن في زمن غربة, غربة الإسلام, غربة التوحيد وغربة السنة, فما أحسن الرفق. ينبغي على طالب العلم أن يتصف بالرفق وأن يتصف باللين في تصرفاته جميعا, وأن يدع الشدة والغلظة والعنف الذي يكون في غير محله. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كما عند مسلم في صحيحه, إن الله يحب الرفق في الأمر كله, ليس في أمر دون أمر. ماذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ إن الله يحب الرفق في أي شيء؟ في الأمر كله, في كل الأمور. يا حبذا أن تكون رفيقا هينا لينا حتى تصل إلى مقصودك وتحصل المصلحة التي تريد. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الله يعطي على الرفق ما لا يعطي على العنف, والحديث في مسلم. الله عز وجل إذا سلكت طريق الرفق, الهدوء, الطمأنينة, اللين, الله عز وجل يعطيك على ذلك الذي تريد وأكثر مما يكون عن طريق العنف. الإسلام, الدعوة, أبواب الخير أصيبت مع الأسف الشديد بكثير من الصدمات وتراجعت إلى الخلف مع الأسف الشديد خطوات, والسبب من تصرفات بعض المسلمين. يغضب فيؤدي هذا إلى أن يترك الرفق ويبادر إلى العنف ويترك الذي ينبغي من التؤدة وعدم الاستعجال, فتكون النتيجة مع الأسف الشديد أنه أوقع الناس جميعا في فتنة عظيمة وترتب على تصرفاته مفاسد كبيرة. والواقع لا يحتاج إلى تفسير أكثر. الذي ينبغي يا إخواني أن نتقي الله عز وجل في أنفسنا, وأن نتقي الله عز وجل في الدعوة, وأن نتقي الله عز وجل في أمانة الإسلام. نحرص على أن نجنب دين الله عز وجل, وأن نجنب الدعوة التي شرفنا الله عز وجل بالانتساب إليها من أن تحصل عليها مفاسد, والسبب نحن, والسبب تصرفاتنا. ينبغي أن العواطف تحكم بالعقول, ثم يحكم كل شيء بشرع الله سبحانه وتعالى. عاطفتنا لا ننساق وراءها, إنما نحكمها بالعقل ثم نحكم الشرع في العقل والعاطفة. هكذا ينبغي أن يكون طالب العلم حتى في أشد المواقف. لا ينبغي أن ننجرف مع العواطف في أشد المواقف, لا ينبغي أن ننجرف مع العواطف, فإنها عواصف. ولذلك إذا تأملت في الشريعة وجدت أن المطلوب من المسلم أن يضبط انفعالاته وعواطفه وفق ما تقتضيه المصالح. في الصحيحين سأل المقداد بن الأسود رضي الله عنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سؤالا عجيبا, قال يا رسول الله, أرأيت إن قاتلت مشركا, معركة بين مسلمين وكفار, يقول لو قاتلت هذا المشرك فضربني بالسيف فقطع يدي, ثم لاذ مني هرب, فلما تمكنت منه قال آمنت بالله, أو قال أسلمت لله. يا رسول الله أقتله؟ قال لا تقتله. قال يا رسول الله فإنه قطع يدي, قال لا تقتله, فإنك لو قتلته فإنك بمنزلته قبل أن يقول الذي قال، يعني قبل أن يعلن إسلامه، وهو بمنزلتك قبل أن تفعل ما تفعل. إلى هذه الدرجة، إلى هذه اللحظة ينبغي نعم أن تحكم عواطفك بالعقل المنضبط بالشريعة. لما؟ لأن الإسلام دين رفق ودين تؤدى ودين مراعاة للمصالح والمفاسد. هذا أمر لو أن المسلمين ولو أن كثيرا من الشباب أخذوا أنفسهم به لوالله ما تشوهت صورة الإسلام في كثير من بقاع العالم، ولا ما أصاب المسلمين ما أصابهم من فتان ومصائب وإحن جرت الشر والسوء على الصغير والكبير وعلى الذكور والإناث وعلى المسلمين وعلى غير المسلمين. فالله الله يا إخواني ملاحظة هذه الأمور الثلاثة، ربي نفسك عليها، لا بد من تربية، لا بد من مجاهدة، الأنات، الرفق، الحلم.
Oh my brothers, we are in a time, we are in an era of loneliness, in which there is a great need for gentleness and leniency, and that a student of knowledge, he adorns himself with gentleness and leniency, and he abandons and he leaves off being harsh, using harshness, and also being excessive in what he says and what he does. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, "Inna Allah yuhibbu rifqa fi amrihi kulli."
في الأمر كله.
في الأمر كله. That Allah loves rifq. Allah loves gentleness in everything, in every matter. Meaning, Allah doesn't order with gentleness in some issues and not in other issues. Rather, in every single issue, Allah loves for there to be gentleness. And if only we adorned ourselves with this rift, if only we were gentle, and if only we were lenient, and if only we were calm and tranquil when it came to our dealings, in order for the maslaha to be gained, in order for the benefit to be realized and the benefit to be achieved. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, "Verily, inna Allah yu'ti ala rift." Verily, Allah gives due to gentleness that which he does not give due to harshness. He gives due to a person being gentle that which he does not give due to a person being gentleness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings these benefits and brings this goodness when a person adorns himself with gentleness, and when a person is tranquil, and when a person is deliberate in that which he does, and a person avoids being hasty and being angry. And nowadays, the Shabab, many of the youth, because of the actions which they do,
and في كلام آخر يبدو أنك أخطأت.
And it's due to this gentleness and due to this leniency, Islam and da'wah and many avenues of goodness are realized and are achieved. And unfortunately, Islam has been harmed and the da'wah has been harmed, and many doors to goodness have been closed because of people not having rifq and not having gentleness, and because of people doing actions and carrying themselves out in this way, in being angry and leaving off gentleness, in being harsh, in person being hasty, and so on and so forth. So many people have been entered into fitan because of being hasty and angry and not being gentle and lenient. And the reality which is around us doesn't need to be explained. The reality which is around us, it shows us these matters. And therefore, every single one of us has to have taqwa of Allah in ourselves. And we have to have taqwa of Allah when it comes to the da'wah. We have to fear Allah when it comes to the responsibility of conveying al-Islam. And that we should protect the religion and we should protect this da'wah, which Allah has honored us with ascribing to it from the potential mafasid because of the actions which we are doing. And always the Muslim, or the student of knowledge, he has to control his emotions. His intellect, his aql, controls the emotions. And the sharia controls his intellect. And this is how we deal with these issues. Meaning, we don't go behind our emotions. And we don't let our emotions control our intellect. Rather, our intellect control our emotions, and the sharia judges over our intellect. For this reason, when the issue is, when the situation becomes dire, when the situation is severe, then as they say, then emotions are like hurricanes. It leads to severe endings, meaning the more severe the situation is, the more severe the bad result will be if we let our emotions run loose. And the sunnah, if we consider the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it orders us and it teaches us to control our emotions. In the great hadith of Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, if I am fighting a kafir, I am fighting a non-Muslim, and I have unsheathed my sword and he has unsheathed his sword, and he strikes me first and he cuts my hand, but then he flees away, and then I run after him and I catch him and I'm able to now kill him. But he says, Amantu billah. This non-Muslim in this situation, he says, I believed in Allah. Or he says, I have accepted al-Islam. Al-Miqdad said, O Messenger of Allah, should I kill him in this situation? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not kill him. And then Al-Miqdad said, but he had just chopped off my hand. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not kill him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you were to strike him, then you will be like him before his statement. Meaning before he said La ilaha illallah, before he accepted Islam. And he will be in your position before you did that action. I like a person fighting jihad in the way of Allah. So even in this type of situation, when the situation is dire and emotions are running high, when a person has just hit you and chopped off your hand, and you're in the middle of jihad, even in this type of situation, the person has to control his emotions and control his desires. And even in this situation, there's rifq and there's leniency, there's gentleness, and a person should not be hasty. And because of this, the benefits are gained and the harms are repelled. And unfortunately, because of the actions of many youth, because of the youth not considering these matters, because of the youth not being gentle, not being lenient, not having wisdom, allowing their emotions to control their statements, then there are many fitan which are brought upon people. And these fitan, these problems and this confusion, it affects the young and the old, and the male and the females, and the Muslims and even the non-Muslims. So fear Allah, and fear Allah. And also you should know that this requires a person to give tarbiyah to himself. Meaning this requires from a person to cultivate himself and to strive against himself in terms of not being angry and not being hasty. We should cultivate ourselves and make mujahada. We strive against ourselves in order to develop al-rifq, gentleness, and al-hilm, tolerance, and also al-anad, that we deliberate and we do not be hasty.
يبدو أن الوقت يعني قد أزف، فبقي معنا أصلاً. لعلنا غدا إن شاء الله في محاضرة الغد نأخذ 10 دقائق في مقدمتها، نذكر الأصلين الباقيين على وجه السرعة، ثم نبدأ في محاضرتنا التي سيعلن عنها إن شاء الله تعالى. أسأل الله عز وجل لي ولكم العلم النافع والعمل الصالح والفقه في دينه، وأن يجنبنا الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن، إن ربنا لسميع الدعاء. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
It appears that time has come close and there are 2 more pillars that remain. And perhaps in tomorrow's lecture, inshallah, the beginning of that lecture for 10 minutes, we'll speak about these 2 important pillars. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon me and upon you knowledge which is beneficial and righteous actions and the correct understanding of the religion, and that He saves us from the fitan, those which are hidden and those which are open and apparent, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who hears their supplications.